You were drowning in a sea of sin, going down for the last time, when you called upon His name. He reached down His nail-scarred hand and lifted you out. So remember where you were back then, and thank Him for where you are now. Give Him the glory for what He's done in your heart. He took you from sin and strife and gave a new start. He took your broken life and made you complete. So take off your crowns of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet. Do you remember when, with all your heart, you longed to serve Him, but you didn't think that Jesus could use someone like you? Now look how He's used since He called you out. And remember where you were back then, and thank Him for where you are now. Give Him the glory for what He's done in your heart. He took you from sin and strife and gave a new start. He took your broken life and made you complete. So take off your crowns of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet. So take off your crowns of glory and cast them at the Savior's feet.
Oh, glory. Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Hall. Thank you, Brother Nick. Good stuff. Amen. Amen. That'll be the day, won't it? Man, alive, be able to take a crown that we don't deserve in the first place and cast it at the Lord's feet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I have no intention of keeping you forever tonight. That's always kind of dangerous to say. But I know some are traveling after the service tonight. Others are traveling first thing in the morning. And I told Brother Mick on the platform just before he sang, I appreciate you being here on an off night, being faithful to be in the Lord's house midweek. And I hope the service has been a blessing to you so far. Has to me, and I've been encouraged. 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm going to read one verse. Follow along, verse number 18, where Paul wrote and said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let me speak. You have no handout tonight. I'm just going to speak for a little bit on the subject in, not for. In, not for. Father, we thank You tonight for the privilege to be in church. Our hearts have been encouraged. Those missionary reports were wonderful. And to be able to pray, take the letter of a family that's in Romania and take their name to Your throne tonight and ask You to help them, particularly through this season and then through the Christmas season. What a wonderful privilege. And then the music, it's been very encouraging, time of giving. Now, Lord, speak to our hearts through your word. You exalted it above your name. Help us, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. If it seems like we were in this passage not long ago, it's because we were. I preached through these directives that Paul gave here as he finished out the letter to the church at Thessalonica. I preached through them some months ago, and in doing so, the subject of being thankful from verse number 18 was included in that series of messages. Now, personally, I am glad that many years ago, some in our nation set aside the fourth Thursday in November as an annual day of Thanksgiving. I'm glad that happened a long time ago, folks. I was thinking about this. If it were up to our current political leaders to initiate a day of Thanksgiving, can you imagine the confusion and insanity that it would involve? Can you imagine that? I mean, it would just absolutely, I don't know about you, but I've been embarrassed the last several days to witness what, and I didn't watch much of it. I watched a little bit of it on the phone, but unbelievable. It's like a circus. But anyway, can you imagine that crowd trying to get together and come up with a day of Thanksgiving? I mean, they would attempt to satisfy everybody's different deity and bring all the so-called little g gods into the celebration. George Washington had no such trouble. He simply began his Thanksgiving proclamation like this, and I quote to you from his proclamation, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor," and then it goes on. But that's his opening statement. Simple, pure, singular, Almighty God. We're going to give thanks to Almighty God. No explanation was necessary. No inclusion of other deities because there are no other. No apologies were necessary because all people understood who Washington was referring to when he mentioned the Almighty God. So I'm glad that was done some years ago and not left up to that crowd that's there today. Thanksgiving is a time to reflect on all God's goodness and provisional care in our lives. All I have needed, thy hand, we just sang, hath provided. So it's very right and proper to have this special day. However, Thanksgiving is more than, you know this, a special day to be sure and give thanks. It is a life choice, and an important one at that, and especially in the way I'm going to present it to us tonight. My interest in this verse tonight is found in the first word of the text in verse 18. My interest is the word in. In everything give thanks. Not after everything. Not because of everything. Not for everything, but in everything give thanks. Now, not everything that comes along in our lives is going to create the attitude of gratitude in our hearts. We will not be able to give thanks for everything, but we can and are able to give thanks in everything. And that's what he told us to do. Let me give you some examples tonight. We're not going to be long. Let me just give you some things that you're not going to hear anything new tonight. So let's give you some examples. Genesis 39. Let's go there. Genesis 39. If you know a little bit about the book of Genesis, when I say chapter 39, you immediately think of Joseph. Okay. Chapter 37 begins his story. Chapter 39. He's down in Egypt. We're going to talk about in Joseph's difficulties. He gave thanks. Look at verse 7, verse number 7, chapter 39. "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me, but he refused." Boy, you could preach a message on those three words right there. Thank God for a man that said no. "And said unto his..." And by the way, I don't think Joseph was a weirdo. I think he was a red-blooded Hebrew. Okay. "And said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Now, folks, I don't see any record in this text of Joseph saying, "Thank you for the privilege of being Potiphar's steward." I'm not sure he could be thankful for the privilege of being Potiphar's steward, but he found a way to be thankful in being Potiphar's steward. He was thankful for Potiphar's treatment of him. He made that clear to his wife. He was thankful for God's care for him. Joseph did not wait until 20 years afterward and say, "You know, as I look back on all the things that God brought into my life, and even those difficulties and how it all turned out, I'm really thankful now for what He did for me." No, no, no. His thankfulness was present. It was in the moment. It was current. How many times has our thankfulness been after the fact? We wait to see how it all turns out. And then we're able to look backward and say, "Man, I thank God for the way He worked things out." Well, you know what Joseph's doing? Joseph is thankful in his difficulties. He probably could not say thank you for the circumstance of being Potiphar's steward, but he could be thankful in the circumstance. And that's what God said. Paul said in the New Testament, in. Not necessarily for, not necessarily because of, but in everything, give thanks. Let's go to Job chapter 1. Second example in your Bible tonight, Job chapter 1. Again, a very familiar story to you who have been saved, and those of you who are getting familiar with your Bible, you'll do well to learn the story of Job. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. Job chapter 1 and verse number 20. Okay, so Job's heading into this awful time of tragedy. Awful time of tragedy. He lost his camels. He lost his sheep. He lost his donkeys. He lost his oxen. He lost 10 children. Verse number 20. Then Job arose. This is after he just hears the news about his 10 children dying. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and, what's the next word? Worshipped. Wow. And said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Next word says what? In. All this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I find no record of Job saying, "Thank you for all these horrible tragedies that befell me." I don't find that attitude. That wouldn't be sensible. But it is obvious that Job was thankful in all the horrible tragedies. His response was that the Lord gives and the Lord takes. Blessed in a sense of worship. Just like this, the word we preached about Sunday morning, that Hebrew word barak. Blessed. Worship be the name of the Lord. Look at chapter 2, verse number 7. Here again we find him. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, the crown of his head. And he took him a potsherd, piece of a clay pot, to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Can you picture that man? Can you picture those sores all over his body and scraping his flesh with a piece of clay? Man, the Bible says they were from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. You say, "Pastor, you believe that?" Of course I believe that. That's what it says. Yes, then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" Look at the verse. Look at what it says. What does it say? In. All this, did not Job sin with his lips? Again, you don't find him saying, thank you for these boils that cover my body. But in this time, when the time of painful time of having boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, Job found a way to be thankful in the circumstance, in the tragedy. His thankfulness did not come in chapter 42. What happens in chapter 42? You know what happens in chapter 42, the end of the book? God restores everything. Double. Double the sheep, double the camels, double the oxen, double the cattle, double it all. If I missed one, the donkeys, whoever it was, he doubled them. And his children, because those children lived on somewhere. And he gave him 10 more children. 7 sons and 3 daughters. But you don't find in Job chapter 42, Job saying, man, you know what? Now that I've got the whole picture and I see how it all worked together and what God did, now I can say I'm very thankful for how God worked through all those tragedies. No, that was not. His thankfulness was in his tragedy. His thankfulness was present. His thankfulness was current. It was in his difficulty. And by the way, have you noticed something very interesting about these first two examples in both Joseph's and Job's narrative? Being thankful, now listen to this, in the difficulty kept both of them from sin. Both of them. Joseph said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? God's been so good to me. I'm so thankful your husband has cared for me. God has provided all of my needs. I dare not do this and sin against God. Now, it's pretty clear that being thankful also kept Job from sin, because it says twice in two chapters in all this, did not Job sin with his lips? In all this, Job sinned not. Now, people, it's pretty clear that being thankful for less than pleasant circumstances will help keep us from sin. You know, I would imagine that if Joseph had allowed himself to become bitter against God, now think about this. If Joseph had an attitude of, what have you done to me? I don't deserve this. I wonder how he would have responded to the temptress's seduction. He had been bitter at God, angry, mad. And once again, we're talking about a red-blooded man here who was invited into a relationship with a woman. He refused. And I have to believe that his ability to be thankful in the circumstance helped keep him from sin. Job, the same thing. Being thankful in the difficulty, being thankful in the tragedy, helped both of these men avoid. And folks, so look, sometimes it's not the outward sins of immorality. Most times it's the inward sin of bitterness. And charging God foolishly. You don't love me. You don't care. That is a foolish charge against the God of heaven. You know what stops that from happening? Being thankful in what's going on in our lives. No matter if it's unpleasant. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go to the third example tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at Paul here. Paul, another very familiar passage to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9. Very familiar verse. You'll see, let's talk for a minute here about Paul's infirmities. Paul's infirmities. And he said unto me, this is after Paul asked God to remove that thorn in the flesh. He said, God said unto me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, now, that's what Paul said now. After God explained, he said, okay, this is what you're going to have right here. You're going to have to have the thorn. You need it. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. There's no record of Paul saying, thank you for my infirmity. I love my distress. I love my reproach. I love these. I love them. There's no record of that. But he was able to be thankful in his infirmities. Verse number 10 lays out four different types of unpleasant circumstances in which Paul was able to be thankful. Now, people, it is not difficult to be thankful when we are not in difficulty. When we are not in tragedy, when we are not in some kind of infirmity, but it's something altogether different when we learn to be thankful when we are in difficulty, in distress, in tragedy, in infirmity, something altogether different. And I'm not so naive to believe that this is an easy thing to accomplish in our hearts, but I want to say this, it may not be easy, but it is possible. How do we know that? Well, not only do we have the record of men in the Bible, but we know this because God would not give us a command that we could not keep. And beyond that, and this is better than that. It's more than that. It's more than that God wouldn't give us a command that we couldn't keep. God would not give us a command that He does not enable us to keep. He enables us to keep His command. How does He do that? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me at verse number 18. You know where I'm going with this. If you know the Word of God, if you know this chapter, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being filled with the Spirit results in us being thankful. How can I be thankful in everything? Be filled with the Spirit. There's your enabling. Wait a minute. That's not all. Colossians chapter 3. Just a couple of pages over, a few pages to your right. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse number 16. Colossians 3, verse number 16. A few pages to your right. Now we're talking about a different subject than the Spirit of God. Paul said in verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing and all that. Verse number 17, and whatsoever you do in word or do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and giving thanks to God the Father by Him. So being filled with the Word of God results in us being thankful. Pastor, can I be thankful in everything? Yes, you can. Yes, I can. Not in the power of my flesh. Not in the power of your flesh. But you can be thankful. I can be thankful in everything through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the power of this book right here. I can do it. Now, I want you to turn over to Leviticus chapter 23. Let me show you something from the Old Testament. We'll be done. Look at Leviticus chapter 23. I love this. I love the literalness of the Old Testament, and I also love the symbolism that we learn from what the children of Israel did. Look at Leviticus chapter 23 and verse number 39. I love this. Now, this is talking about the Feast of Tabernacles that the Jews were supposed to observe annually. Okay? Look at verse number 39. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. So from Sabbath to Sabbath, they're supposed to observe this feast. Okay? Verse 40, and ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of fig trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Now, there's two kinds of trees mentioned in verse number 40. He said, take branches of palm trees and willow trees. Build you a little booth, live in it for 7 days, and rejoice before the Lord. Now, what does a palm speak of? What does a palm branch or tree speak of? It speaks of, if you could say, peace. It speaks of gladness. It speaks of joy. It speaks of happiness. It speaks of victory. Do you remember when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of an ass? And there they all were saying, Hosanna, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Do you remember what they were waving? Palm branches. The palm branch is symbolic of the happy time. The palm branch is symbolic of the glad times, the joyful times. But that's not the only branch, type of branch they were supposed to take. He also said, take the willows. What's the willow symbolic of? Sorrow. Sadness. Weeping. Remember when the children of Israel hung their harps on the branches of the willows? It speaks of sadness and sorrow and weeping. So they got this booth made out of two kinds of trees, branches from two types of trees. They got a branch, they got a booth, branches of willow trees, branches of palm trees, and they're supposed to live in that booth. Folks, this is not symbolic for the nation of Israel. This is literal. They built little booths. And they got the palm branches and the willow branches, and they sit there for 7 days, and they look up and they see the palm trees and the palm branches, and they think about the victories and the glad times and the happy times and the joyful times, and they see the willows and they think about the sad times and the sorrowful times and the times of weeping. Do you know what you call that, people? You call that life. Nobody's life has all palm trees, branches. Nobody's life has all willow branches. We are a people that live in a life of palms and willows. What were they supposed to do all 7 days? Rejoice. In everything. In the palm branch seasons of your life. In the willow branch seasons of your life. In everything. Give thanks. Rejoice in it. The wonderful thing is, folks, one of these days, we're going to be in a season of eternal palm branches. Because Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 9 talks about that multitude gathered around the throne, singing and praising God. And you know what they're waving in their hands? They're not waving willow branches. Oh, no, glory. They're waving palm branches. Because it's eternal victory. It's eternal happiness. It's eternal joy. Until then, in everything, give thanks. In the moment, in the present, in the now, give thanks. I can't do it. Yes, you can. Got to get filled with the Spirit and get filled with this book. And let's stand together. Thanks for being here on this Tuesday night. Father in heaven, help us to be thankful in everything. You've enabled us to be able to do that through the power of your Spirit and the power of your Word. We look at our lives, every person in this room, it's honest at all, will have to say that their life thus far has had both palm branches and willow branches. And Father, we are to rejoice in both. Be thankful in both. Thank you for the promise of that eternal palm branch season when we are gathered around your throne to worship you throughout all eternity. Until then, God, help us to obey your word through the power of your Spirit and be thankful in if we can't be thankful for. I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a brief. I would imagine in church with this many people in it, there's folks here tonight. You're in the Palm Branch season of life. Not difficult to be thankful in Palm Branch season. There are others who are in the Willow Branch season of life. Sadness, sorrow, maybe some steps backward rather than forward. That's where real Christianity shines. Being thankful in those seasons as well. May God help us. Amen.